Good day. My name is Jen, and I'll be your web event specialist today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to today's web conference. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that today's web conference is being recorded. We'll be taking questions over the phone during today's presentation, and you will receive instructions on how to ask a question over the phone at the appropriate time. If you experience any technical difficulties during today's event, please press star zero on your telephone keypad to be connected with an operator. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Mr. Marcus Randolph. Sir, you may begin.
Hi, as Jen has said, my name is Marcus Randolph. I'm the Executive Chairman of Bort Longyear. With me today is Jeff Olson, our Chief Executive Officer. I'm very pleased to be presenting our set of results with you, and we'll get started by talking about this photo. So one of the, if you've been following the company recently, one of the things that we've actually put a fair bit of effort in and have talked about some with the market is the direction that we're going with our on-site assaying, logging, downhole geophysics, and core orientation tools. What you see on the cover is our scanner. So this is an assayer. You set the tray with the cores on those rollers. It slides in, slides inside the machine, and inside of about 30 seconds, it gives you the assays of everything that was on the tray. So this is in field testing. This is actually at one of our drill sites, and we're running it through its operations now. And I'll talk a little bit about where we are with our other tools. But I think this one is actually probably the biggest game changer of the suite, and it's working pretty well. With that, we'll flip to the disclaimer. This is a standard disclaimer. I'm sure that you've all read it. And we'll move into a summary. On safety, we continue to be the industry leader. Our safety performance was on par with last year, and we've had no fatalities. Results were interesting. Reflecting the overall market conditions, our revenues were down $77 million versus the first half of 2015. However, our EBITDA was up $12 million, and our cash was up $12 million. Largely due to the continuing gains that we're making on the productivity front. So as we noted on the slide, during this period, our productivity was up. This is drill meters per shift and revenue per shift. Our productivity is up about 20%. We'll talk about that a little bit more further on in the presentation, but it makes a big difference in our results. And lastly, the business environment. Again, we'll cover this a bit more as well, but it's much more positive. Gold has been up strong this year. We're starting to see some of the other minerals following the same trend, and that's led to many more requests for proposals for the time of year that we're in. So we're seeing a lot coming in, largely due to raisings by junior miners, and we'll cover that a bit more in the presentation as well. Referring to drill productivity, which is slide number four, this isn't rocket science what we're doing here. This is pretty straightforward. What we do is we track our key metrics daily, and we get feedback on them every single shift. We report the results to the drillers, the helpers, the supervisors, and right up through the organization chain, and it's highly visible. So those results are posted in our shift change rooms at site. And then we look at who are the bottom 25% of that group. They get coaching. They get performance management if they can't change. So we try to figure out what's the difference between our best drillers and our worst ones and bring them all up to the standard of our best. The value proposition to this is actually quite appealing. It obviously makes this more profitable because we're getting more drilling for less cost, but it also gets us more work. So the feedback that we've been getting from our customers is they've noticed the difference. They're happy with what we're doing. And it also allows us to bid and be profitable on contracts that we just couldn't have participated in before. So it's actually getting us more work as well as being more profitable. Referring to productivity and cost controls, the market for minerals continued to be depressed through the beginning quarter of this year. Our revenues were down, as I mentioned in the summary, we're down 20%. Despite the revenue drop, I think we're actually slightly gaining market share. So the trend that we've had is an industry trend. It isn't specific to us. And actually, as I said, I think we're actually seeing some gains. What we have done, though, is we're cutting costs faster than we're losing revenue. and the results are a much improved performance despite very difficult trading conditions. On the cash side, I will note that our results are seasonal. We tend to be much stronger in the cash generation during the second half. Second half of last year, we were quite strongly cash positive. We should be even more cash positive in the second half of 2016. Slide number six, becoming a data provider. If you look at what happens at a drill site today, so our work is largely drilling, but there's a whole lot of other things that happen at the drill or as a result of the drilling. So we're talking now about the survey work, the core orientation work, the downhole geophysics, the assaying, the logging. And today, most of this stuff is done by third-party crews on-site, except for the assaying, which is done off-site. And these crews have to come in, they have to do the work. Our guys stand beside the drill and can't do a lot while this work happens. So the focus that we've got is actually recognizing that our crews are there, and using those crews gives us a substantial advantage in terms of generating low-cost work because we're putting crews to work that aren't working today. But more than that, what we're finding is that the tools that we're producing are actually better than what's out there now. So our core orientation, which is TrueCore, is out and working. It's quite successful in the market already. TrueShot is rolling out in Australia and will be in the market soon. TrueProbe, which is downhole geophysics, is being field tested and working pretty well. And I talked about TrueScan at the beginning of the presentation. So where we're headed is a full suite of products that will work at our sites, by our drill crews, and give instantaneous information to our customers in a data-friendly, user-friendly format. So effectively, what you'll do is we'll be cheaper, and we'll have that information before the rig moves. So it'll be quite an advantage for our customers. A customer gave me a comment on this, which I found to be quite illustrative. You guys have just got to realize that the value isn't in the hole. It's in the data that the hole provides, and that's where this technology is taking us. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Jeff Olson. Jeff is the CEO, but he's also going to pick up the financial aspects of this as well as the business performance. Jeff, over to you.
Thank you, Marcus. So let's turn to slide 8, which shows a summary of Boart Longyear's consolidated results for the first half of 2016 compared to the first half of 2015. Revenue was down $77 million, as Marcus said. It's been driven primarily by lower volumes, with unfavorable currency translations and lower price also contributing factors. Although revenue is down, we're starting to see some more requests for proposals from customers, particularly from gold customers in first world countries. Adjusted EBITDA was up $12 million, driven by tight cost controls on overhead spending, and the productivity initiative that was put in place in our drilling services division in late 2015, which Marcus spoke of. These efforts on cost control are evident as cost of goods sold is down $82 million and SG&A is down $8 million half on half. Finally, adjusted net profit after tax for the first half of 2016 was improved $17 million compared to the first half of 2015. Turning to slide 9, you can see a half-over-half comparison with a bit more detail. I would draw your attention to the adjusted figures on the right-hand side of the chart. Of note, although revenue was down 20%, there was market improvement in margins throughout the P&L, including gross margin, operating margin, EBITDA, and net profit after tax lines. So as previously noted, while revenue was down $77 million, EBITDA was up $12 million. We are committed to controlling costs and improving productivity, especially in the current market conditions, and this won't change when the market improves. Turning to slide 10, this bridges our revenue and EBITDA from the first half of 2015 to first half 2016. While the biggest driver of the revenue decline was volume, $55 million of the $77 million decline, FX was also a factor at $16 million. The impact of price was relatively muted. Although we are still experiencing pricing pressure, we feel like the worst of the pricing declines are behind us. In the EBITDA bridge, you'll notice that the impacts from lower price and volume were more than offset by productivity improvements and lower SG&A costs. On slide 11, you can see that we the cash and debt bridges from December 2015 to June 2016. Debt increases marginally in the first half 2016 period, driven by draws on our asset-backed loan facility reflecting seasonality in our business, as well as accreted interest on our term loans. Consistent with our normal seasonality, cash declined during the half-year period, primarily driven by working capital and interest payments. It should be noted that our business typically uses cash in the first half and generates cash in the second half of the year. Total liquidity at June 30, 2016 was $57 million, consisting of $41 million of cash and $16 million of availability under our asset-backed loan facility. Moving on to our business review and beginning with drilling services on slide 13. We continue to focus on our productivity initiative, which we started late last year, and we clearly see the benefits of these efforts. Revenue was down 22% in drilling services, driven by lower volume, as evidenced by the lower average number of operating rigs. Cost of goods sold was down 25%, and SG&A was down 26%, both outpacing the revenue decline. This has resulted in slightly improved EBITDA despite the revenue decline and fewer operating rigs, an accomplishment we are quite proud of. On slide 14 is the breakout of our drilling services revenue by commodity type. There's been no significant change in our revenue by commodity profile, with gold and copper continuing to be primary commodities that drive our business. Gold made up 57% of our service revenue, and we believe this is good news, considering the steady improvement in the price of gold in 2016. On slide 15, there's a summary of results for our products business. Products revenue was down 14% compared to the first half of 2015, with the key drivers being lower volume, particularly in capital equipment, and unfavorable currency translations. Price was basically flat year over year. Although revenues were down significantly, EBITDA was only down slightly due to continued tight focus on cost control across our business and including the products group. Turning to slide 16, we are clearly seeing material improvements in productivity and in margins. And we're also seeing improvements in some market indicators as the price of gold has steadily improved since the beginning of the year. As I mentioned previously, we are seeing an uptick in requests for proposals in some geographies, particularly related to gold. We're also encouraged by the recent significant increase in equity raising by junior miners, who often use this capital to explore for new opportunities. We expect to generate cash in the second half of the year, but as we look forward to 2017 and beyond, we see some challenging periods. You will note that we have included an emphasis of matter in our financial report, which points to a material uncertainty because of these future challenges to liquidity and funding. We have and will continue to address our operating model and productivity initiatives. But with the uncertainty of timing in any market recovery, we need to address Fort Longyear's overall capital structure and thus ensure we can, with greater certainty, weather the near-term challenges. We have too much debt. Because of this, we have chosen to hire a financial advisor to assist us with improving our balance sheet and financial flexibility to both efficiently sustain our current business and prepare for an eventual market recovery. Our objective is to be a better supplier so that we can continue to provide the world-class services and products that we are known for. With that, I'll turn it back over to Marcus for a conclusion.
Let's talk a little bit about commodity trends, which is slide number 18. So the gold, copper, and iron ore prices on the left-hand side, these are over a four-year period. And what you see is a steady trend down. The graph, the same three graphs on the right-hand side of the last 6 months, or 2016, so this is since the beginning of this year. And what you'll notice is, particularly in the case of gold, a strong upward trend, but also an upward trend in copper and iron ore. So what we're, you know, so yes, the markets are getting better, and this is quite important to us because pricing direction is as important as absolute price levels. So the sentiment responds when people can believe the market is getting better, and that seems like it started to happen. It's happened in the gold equities market, and as I'll mention in the next slide, it's happening in the fundraising that's available for junior miners. So if you take a look at slide 19, this was equity raisings by junior miners from the third quarter of 2012 through the second quarter of 2016. It's by quarter, and it's by region. The regional analysis is less important than the overall trend. So what you'll see is the total raisings, and junior miners, by the way, are companies that have a market cap of less than $500 million. Fundraising in the second quarter of 2016, $2.3 billion. Fundraising in the prior quarter, $800 million, and it had been broadly a steady downward trend until that point. So something has clearly changed. The gold market has got people interested, and this is important to us because the funds that flow to these junior miners generally go straight into exploration, and that's hitting right at our core business. So on to slide number 20, our strategic priorities. Safety. We're good. We're working to get better. On the operating side, the foundation of this company is we're the best driller out there. We need to continue to be, and we think we can still improve. We're continuing to work on that. I don't think we've seen the bottom of our productivity gains. We think they're going to continue. On the commercial side, this hasn't been a strength of ours. However, you would have noticed in recent announcements that we've created a chief commercial officer position, and the role is actually at the same level as the chief operating officer position, which we think will give us additional emphasis on the commercial side of the business, and we're already seeing some early gains there. Technology, I talked a bit about this earlier in the presentation. This is a whole new business area for us, and it's been steadily getting better. You know, and one of the things I've noticed in business is when you see things that every time you look at it, it's just a little better than you were expecting. You know you're on to a winner, and that's what's happening here. So it's exciting new business for us, and it's got great margins. On the cash side, Jeff's objective for 2017 is to be cash positive. However, he has also said that our cash position is inadequate in order to deal with the upturn as and when it comes, as well as ensure we have a sustainable business. So we're investigating alternatives to strengthen our balance sheet. With that, I will give it back to the moderator, who I believe is going to explain the format for questions. Jen, can you help me, please?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star and the number one.
And I'll ask that the question, that anybody with questions, please identify themselves as well. Thank you.
And operator, do we have any questions at this time?
You do have a question from the line of Stephen White.
Hi, this is
Stephen. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen White from Lim Advisors in Hong Kong. Thanks very much for the update. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the working capital movement you saw in the first half. I'll provide some more context to that.
Yeah, Stephen, I can take that. What we normally see in our business is that projects generally take a break over that December-January period, and they start to ramp up back in February, March. So we'll start to bring crews back on line. We do spend maintenance dollars as we get rigs up to speed to go back to work. And as we spend that money and then start to drill, it takes some time for that working capital cycle for receivables to come through. So we generally are consumers in the first part of the year of cash. And you can see that in the second half of the year, while we're, you know, most of those projects are up and running, we generate cash. So that's a normal pattern that we have seen for, I guess, pretty much every year of Bort Longyear's existence. But it does make our seasonality and working capital makes us users in the first half of the year more than we are in the second half of the year. We're generally generating cash.
Great. Thanks very much. And just you've given some guidance on where you'd like to be in cash by 2017. What about margins and kind of top-line revenue? Can you give any guidance as to how you see those developing over the next 6 to 12 months?
Listen, we continue to see, let's take top line to, first of all. We continue to see, you know, a difficult market out there. Certainly, we have seen declining revenues quarter on quarter for probably 12 quarters in a row. And we're, you know, we see a slowing of the rate of decline. We certainly aren't seeing the same pricing pressure that we saw a couple of quarters ago. We continue to see some volume pressure, but we see that lessening very much. We are encouraged by increased requests for proposal out there. It does tend to be concentrated in more of the first world areas of the world, and also and gold is a big driver of that. So we need a more robust rebound in those proposals that considers other commodities and other parts of the world. So we still see the rest of 2016, and we'd look into 2017, and right now we'd see that a very challenging year as well.
Okay, so thank you very much. And if I may, just one last question. You mentioned the trend you've seen in the junior miners. Can you provide any anecdotes in terms of what you've seen with your tier one, sort of the majors, in terms of what their activity has been like and how it's developing over the next 6 months?
Yeah, let me take that one. I think the tier one miners are a little more cautious in how they commit to their budgets. I think they are also encouraged by some of the signs they see, but they are going to commit to increase budgets a little more carefully. We are hearing some of them say that they believe they will have better budgets for 2017 and 2016, but we have heard those things before, and until they start to commit on those projects, it's important to be very cautious about that. Having said that, You know, we are hearing some of that evidence from them. I don't think that they have completed their budgeting cycles yet, so there's still a lot of uncertainty out there about what those dollars will be, particularly for those first-tier miners in 2017.
Yeah, the more visible shift has been among the gold companies, and particularly those that are doing exploration in North America. So not surprisingly, as the big guys ramp up, it tends to be in the safer areas first. But it's notably stronger, but not one that we're putting in the books yet.
Okay. Thanks again. Thanks very much for the update.
There seems to be no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you all for joining us. I realize it's a difficult time, certainly for those in the U.S., and it's been a pleasure, though, and I'm pleased to have been able to present what I think is a good set of results and share them with you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for joining us. This concludes today's web conference. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.